Like, I can't just turn the switch off just like that. I know some fighters could do that, but I can't do that. I got to wait until the referee pulls you off because you never know what happens. Anything could happen. He could turn into Stone Undertaker and sit straight up and eat all those shots. So you never know. You got to keep going until the referee say, hey, chill out.
The baddest blue belt in Texas. East,
baby. Slanging and banging. I like them wrestlers. What's up?
What's up, everybody? Here we go again with another episode of the Knee on Belly podcast. We are your hosts, Nate,
John,
Brandon.
And this week, we are going to be bringing you everything happening in and around the world of mixed martial arts. We're going to be talking about last night's Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes UFC Fight Night 19 card, and then we're going to look ahead at this week's card, Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Ciryl Gane. You know what? Let's let this beat ride for a minute. This is for future Nate. Do you know this thing drops? Of course you know.
I made it.
Let's just, we're all going to do the motorcycle. Oh, let's turn this thing up a little bit. This is for the people who didn't know that this intro song has depths and levels.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Here we go. Don't stop. Jesus, John was just going nuts.
I used to crump.
I love it. That was amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm still like trying to get my head back a little bit.
2007 and a half, I crumped.
Competitively? Or?
Did a couple of online tournaments, but nothing really.
Crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not even like the greatest news of what's happening right now.
Do you by chance remember your online name? Your account?
I think it was Crump Dumpling 17.
I was
ranked, but
oh gosh. Okay, so it's early. We typically record this Sunday afternoon, but you know, Brandon's being a diva, man. I'm not gonna front with you guys. It's 8 a.m. Sunday,
the 21st.
I mean, Brandon, do you care to comment on that?
Look, man, dad life, that's all I have to say.
So I feel like all, you know, you go back through like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, all good boy bands come to an end because one guy wants to be a diva. You start showing up late, start demanding call times.
Yeah. And
here we are.
Ash had to put makeup on him.
Yeah. Yeah, powdered him up.
We're not even doing video yet.
I know.
It'll be interesting to see how this works out when the video comes into play. Because you guys are looking a little rough right now.
No, oh, terrible. and we apologize I'm just kidding. But in all realness, Brandon said we could have just done the episode without him, and we said, oh, heck no.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it.
I do have one quick question, though.
Yes, sir.
When did you get the eye patch? For the people that are listening,
yeah.
Brandon has an eye patch, and he hasn't explained it.
Listen, I've had the eye patch. That's all I'm going to say.
Whoa.
Anything else going on this week? Anything worth mentioning?
Mortal Kombat.
That is worth mentioning. You see that trailer?
No.
So much disappointment.
I thought it already came out.
No. They put out like a teaser thing.
Oh,
they put
out an official trailer. No, I didn't see it.
Shoo. There's that.
Looks good.
Oh, yeah. It's like I hope COVID gets this stuff together so I can go to IMAX and watch it.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
CGI's on point.
Mm-hmm. And then,
it's not 1995 anymore.
Obviously, WandaVision.
It was Agatha all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't even do the countdown spoiler, so sorry.
Oh, good point.
That's on Nate, so.
Whoops.
You can come see him about it. But, yeah.
I think it's obvious.
Still cold. WandaVision's still great. I had a crab rangoon pizza.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Let me do something. Shout out to Oscar's Pizza right here in Kokomo, Indiana.
Yeah.
I was like.
So good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the pizza, I took a bite, and I didn't even realize. I was so excited. I didn't even see the sauce. Crab rangoon sauce.
Yeah.
So, like, my first slice, I just downed in, like, 0.3 seconds and then looked, and I was like, oh, there's a sauce. Or maybe I did see it and just thought it was, like, a marinara. You know, like, not really thinking.
Like a dipping sauce?
It's like a crab rangoon sauce.
Okay, gotcha.
So, it's, like, a sweet, like, probably orange or what do you think?
I thought it was, first I was like, maybe it's, like, a sweet and sour thing, but
Oh, my God. It just took the pizza to another level. Do you like Crab Rangoon?
No.
You know what? I'm not even going to be mad at you because I was going around like telling people at work, like, you got to look at this pizza, man. Like, I'm just weird with food where I don't mind showing people pictures.
It's like your kids. Yeah. Dude, see this pizza?
Yeah. I don't have kids and my dog's ugly. So I'm just like showing people food. And there was like half of them were just like, I just don't really like Crab Rangoon. And I'm like, oh, dang. So I'm not even going to be mad at you for that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Have you had the sweet ones, like with the cream cheese and...
Where might you get that?
Like Great Wall and some... Mm. I mean, a lot of places have them, but I've had two different versions. I've had one that's like kind of more savory and kind of salty.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I love crab. Like, I can eat crab like it's literally all day, but Crab Rangoon, I just...
Why is that?
I think it's... I don't know if it's texture or... I haven't had it in a long time. Maybe just when I was younger, I didn't like
try it.
It.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's different Crab Rangoons, too, because some of them... Like, some places make it real sweet, and then other places
kind of... Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, the salty one is like, meh.
See, I like them all. I
just need that cream cheese.
The sweet is definitely good, but I like them all, doggy. But... Anything, I mean, this isn't a Crab Rangoon pod, so we won't bore you with that. I could talk about Crab Rangoon for a while.
But every Friday now until Easter, you can go get it.
Every Friday. So if you are in or around Kokomo, I'll say around because I'm telling you right now, I'm driving at least 45 minutes for that pizza. I'll tell you that right now.
Come early, though.
Yeah, definitely come early because it was sold out by like 5:30.
We called it like 5:45 and then I was like, we got enough for like two more pizzas. I'm glad you called.
I called him because I was like, hey man, like we just ordered one because I figured it was going to be popping because, you know, you start seeing people share it. It's like, I want this pizza, not you. Mm-hmm. And so.
Because most people are just going to share it but not go.
Yeah. And so I was like, hey, I'm probably going to call this in now and tell him like, so I called it at 5 and I'm like, hey, I want to pick this up at 6:30. And she's like, it don't work like that. You got to order. Yeah. She's like, you got to pick it. Yeah. She's like,
just let you know.
Yeah. 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 So she's like, we probably have enough for just a couple more pizzas and that's going to be a wrap. I think she said 3. So
is this the first time?
I think they
sold out. Like when I went and picked up my pizza, they said that they were out of the cream cheese already.
Yeah.
Had some crab meat left, but obviously you need all the elements.
So I instantly got a hold of him and I was like, hey bro, you better get your order.
You want it? Come get it.
Right now.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know, man.
No, you don't even like it.
Well, you didn't know that.
You don't even like food.
I kinda guessed.
Yeah. You kinda give off that, yeah.
I like black licorice vibe.
Yeah.
Hate black licorice.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, now you know and everybody knows. This Friday, every Friday until Easter, go get you some damn Oscar's pizza.
Not a sponsor, but if you want to.
Yeah, not saying, I mean, I would shout them out every episode for like a $10 off discount.
Yeah, just give me some free like bacon breadsticks. And
yeah, even that.
I will tell.
It's easy.
Tell the world.
It's easy. We're in the mud, doggy. We'll take whatevs. But anyways, we're going to jump into this. We do ask that if you are listening, that you do subscribe, follow, give us a 5-star, give us a 5-star review.
Speaking of which,
I'm gonna let John read this review. Give me.
It's my dog.
You know what's funny? I completely forgot until just now.
Nice.
So I am unprepared. This happens a lot.
Anyways, my dog came through with a 5-star. Nick Kranz.
Here it goes.
And we got to show love and read it
off. So we have a new 5-star review. Go for it, John.
Great time. Not overwhelming. Feels like a night out with the boys. Great conversation. Fun and informative. That's 5 stars, baby.
Boom, baby.
Nick Kranz, man. Shout out to you.
Appreciate that, man. For show. So definitely if you... are listening on Apple Podcasts, give us the 5 stars, write us a review. We'll shout you out if we know who you are. And even if we don't, we'll still shout you out. Also, follow us on social media, Instagram and Twitter at Neon Belly Pod.
We follow back and we comment and all types of stuff. So do that.
That's right. Brandon does TikTok challenges sometimes.
Every now and then.
He's getting into it. He sent us a couple.
Yeah,
we just haven't posted them yet.
Yeah,
they're drafts.
Yes, definitely rough drafts. All right, boys, are you ready to get into this? This card last night. So last night,
Brandon,
UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Nevada, UFC fight night. Derek Lewis. I always want to get their names backwards, so I have to like make sure I'm looking at it. Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes was our main event. Lewis winning. Second round, TKO punches in a minute 26. earning himself a performance of the night bonus. Brandon, kick us off with this fight. Well, your thoughts.
It was I don't know what to say, man. I thought he looked good. I thought Blades looked good at the start. He was landing some pretty decent combos, 1-2 elbow with a nice leg kick that really, I thought that was going to sort of be the pace. And then Lewis just had the perfect game plan for those wrestlers, near an uppercut, and that's what landed.
Didn't care about no other punch.
Who?
Derek Lewis, that's what he said.
Oh, yeah.
I was just looking for that shot of the knee. Yeah. I ain't ones, twos, I ain't care.
Well, he did. Me and Brandon were talking about before you got here is, like, he did such a good job of just staying patient. Because, see, I have to look at their names. Blades kept, like, fainting, and he was trying to fake that shot. He was just trying to do anything to get, you know, Lewis to react. And Lewis was just not. I mean, he kept
he's all that American.
In and out. Yeah, he's all American. He's the baddest blue belt in Texas. He did say he wants to do a submission underground.
That'd be match. Fantastic.
I mean, you see what
because he wants to show off Olenek.
Olenek had him in some bad spots. Yeah, he just kind of big manned him.
Here's the thing: as a blue belt myself, there's no way I would want it that.
No.
There's a lot of other things I'd rather do than that. I can promise you.
Yeah.
We don't have a podcast long enough to go through those. But, yeah, that would be terrible. But, no, I think super, super patient performance. And then, I mean, we knew the uppercut was coming, right, eventually.
Mm-hmm. And if you watch the slow-mo, he put everything into that.
Well, it wasn't even like a – it didn't even look like it hit him really clean on the flush on the chin.
Yeah, it was hard to see.
Yeah, it almost looked like his wrist and forearm. Like, this probably hit, like, middle of the chest. Yeah. And then he just came
so
up.
So much power, dude. But,
I thought he hurt him with that first punch when they first ran into each other because you seen, but obviously Blades has really good cardio, trains at elevation and stuff.
Well, and you had that stat last week where you said I think Blades was on like a 50% takedown.
Yeah,
and Lewis was on a 50% takedown defense.
Yeah,
there's no I can't find those stats, but let's not also skip over the fact he did defend a takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis
good balance.
Was, Lewis, I don't remember if it was like a high crotch or a single. Okay. And he was on it deep. And, I mean, Lewis just super athletic, was able to bounce on one leg.
It's a back surgery,
which once man. And could be, yeah. But once again, like, you know, for people that maybe have never, like, that is a really hard to do. Like, I don't care how big you are, what size you are, let alone if you weigh 265 pounds and you're, you know.
I think Lewis to me is deceivingly athletic.
Oh, yeah.
Like he hides it.
Flying knees. Dude, he threw like a head
switch kick.
Switch kick. It's like, what that's the heck?
He was throwing those when he fought Francis.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. I'm like, dude, this guy can just move.
It's different, man.
Yeah.
It's just an athleticism that I think you're either born with or you're not.
Well, and it's crazy because, like, you have Blades. I don't know if you heard it in the beginning when they were walking up, but Blades has the most takedowns in heavyweight history by 20 over Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
So he had, I mean, that's kind of just what he does, and he just was never able to. I mean, obviously you got to respect the power.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, at first Derek Lewis kind of looks like he's putting in one of those, I'm showing up and just throwing some punches, but nothing's going to happen. And then, yikes.
Well, he said he was having a hard time in the back. He just felt real flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him, too, they asked him about the leg kicks because his legs were starting to look a little swollen. I mean, Blades had some really nice leg kicks.
Yeah.
He said they actually didn't bother him at all. He said, if anything, they were just, like, waking his legs up because he said he just came out. But he did look real flat. I was telling him he did look real flat coming out. It was a little weird. Like, I didn't love his body language. I'll say that. And there is something about when he fights. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I did. He slips and slides all over. I don't know if that's
there's a couple of times he tried some feints in his
dude. But it's slipping. I'll go back and watch his fights. It happens a lot. Like I don't know if it's that he's like so flat footed or maybe
he has just, like soft feet.
Maybe it's I don't know.
I'm just saying like
gets pedicures all the time.
Yeah, maybe it's just like it.
Hey, don't. I get some pedicures too. Don't hate on me. Do not hate on a pedicure. Any man out there listening right now that has had pedicures is like, chill, dude. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's weird. Yeah, it's like he's always like, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's in his footwork or lack thereof or maybe he just puts so much weight on that front leg or something when he's throwing, but he does like this, like slip and slide stuff a little bit, but that could. I wondered too if that I was starting when I started. He started doing it. At first, I was like, "Oh man, that leg's going," because at that point, Blades had landed some really good leg kicks. But then the more I was like, "Ah, he does kind of do that every fight, though."
Yeah.
So, But yeah,
it was very, very crazy, man. I went crazy in my house. Sure the neighborhood heard about that.
Just has like, it's just, he just always finds a way to win. Like, that's what it is. It's like every time you count the dude out, it's just like,
well, it's one of those things. That's what I said. Is,
you're just hilarious.
He's a little older too, right?
36. Yeah.
I put one of the comments I made on one of the posts on Instagram was, when you have that type of power, every fight's 50-50.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how good you are, what skill you have.
That's a good point.
One punch. I mean, and Francis has that similar thing. That's why their fight together is still so mind-blowing, because they both have that. It doesn't matter how good you are, if one of these hits you.
You think a rematch between them goes the same way? Or you think it's totally different?
I think Blades would approach it a lot different. Oh, no.
Sorry, a rematch between Lewis and Ngannou.
Francis. Oh, yeah. I think because here's what I'll say, and John kind of touched on it a minute ago. I think his back was a big problem when he was fighting with those back problems, because we have seen since he's had the surgery and he's recovered a much better Derek Lewis, and more athletic and agile. And I think, and he said that day, I think that was the fight, he said he couldn't even get out of the bed that morning, and they almost canceled the fight because he couldn't even walk. And it's, you know, you don't, you kind of take everything he says with a grain of salt, but I think sometimes he is serious. And I think that was one of those things, like he was genuinely just in pain, because that's not how Derek Lewis fights either, you know, and it's not how Ngannou fights. But I think Ngannou, you're talking about a guy that's coming from nothing, and he knew what a win meant, and you know,
power recognizes power too. Like, yeah. And sometimes, you know, when somebody's built like that,
You got to take your chances, you know, be a little, I think he knew that if he won that fight, he was going to get a title shot, and you know, it just happens. But I don't think either of those guys approaches that fight any differently or the same way. I think it's 100% different.
Yeah.
I think so. Cause I mean, that's probably one of the top maddest I've ever seen Dana after a main event. I mean,
I get it.
That, and then like you go back to like the Silva Maya in Abu Dhabi, he was pretty mad, but that was like literally one of the maddest Dana White has ever been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and I wonder, because I'm obviously, you've seen him, how better he's got since, but I wonder what the lessons from the DC fight for Lewis was, as far as like these top level guys, like I can't just, you know, because you, as much as he wings stuff, that's timing. When you hit an uppercut like that, you have to see emotion, timing.
Mm-hmm. I think that a big difference too, I was thinking about this, is the wrestling though. I think if you look at DC's wrestling and Blade's wrestling, they're very different. And Blade's, obviously, he's a much better wrestler than me, but his shots were not very well set up, and they weren't very big in terms of level changes. Mm-hmm. Like, the shot he got hit with when he was going in on Lewis was not a very good shot.
No, he just kind of changed level. Yeah, he didn't set it up or anything.
Changed levels just enough to get in line of that uppercut and kind of had his arms out like he was going to give him a hug. And it's just like, that he can get away with that with a lot of people.
So do you think that was like just desperation, frustration at that point, because he hadn't been able to get him? And at that point, Lewis had already defended a takedown. And
And I think that a lot of it going, if you go back and look at his fights, he got away with it a lot. And I think it just becomes a habit not to have to change levels more so, or make a bigger effort, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And so he just got used to it. And when you do that at a really, really high level, somebody's waiting for it, they're going to time it.
And some credit to Lewis too, man, because I know he says he only trains 30 minutes a day, but
no way.
Dude, he is a legit mixed martial artist, and I think he takes it really, really, really serious. And he shouted out whatever Gracie affiliation they have down there for working on his jiu-jitsu and takedown defense and stuff. So,
did you guys, this guy has 20 fights in the UFC?
When they said that, I was like, what? Yeah. Jeez. I feel like he's only been around for like 3 years.
He's been in 7 main events, they said. Yeah. That's
because he's money, man.
Yeah,
he's
just, no, but it's, it's crazy, and I think, I don't know if it was necessarily desperation for Curtis Blaydes, but I think his coaches are telling him, look, you're doing good in the stand-up, but this is, we don't want to play with this, because it takes one.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, go do what you do, because, I mean, he was, I mean, Blaydes looked great.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I mean, he was keeping him guessing.
Had to be doing everything
in and
right.
out. Yeah. But once again, all it takes is one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough, man. He did say afterward, because I was like kind of at, like after I had calmed down, I was like, man, you know how much that probably means right now to like Texas and everything that they're going through. And he did say in his post-fight scrum that, Texas, don't worry, I'm coming back. My balls are hot.
Ties Vitor for most knockouts in UFC history.
That's crazy, dude. That's so crazy.
No, he tied him.
I think he,
I'm pretty sure he tied him.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's either
still,
way.
Yeah, I mean, he's still.
Think about how long Vitor fought.
Yeah.
And I mean, Lewis has 20 fights, but I bet Vitor probably did it in more. I don't know. That'd be an interesting thing to look up.
Vitor's been around for a long time.
Something, this is completely kind of off the wall, but I just remembered because I was thinking it last night, is because they said Curtis Blaydes was a JUCO wrestling champion, and then Phil Haas was a JUCO wrestling champion. And if anybody watches Netflix, there's a phenomenal docuseries called, what is it, the football, the JUCO one. Help me.
Having a 9 a.m.
Me too, dude. It's so early.
Last Chance You.
I literally just woke up like 30 minutes ago. Yeah, Last Chance You. I would love a Last Chance You on a JUCO wrestling program. Could you imagine? So, like, being a wrestler is probably, not probably, we know enough wrestlers, it's terrible. And I'm sure on, like, the D1 collegiate level, it's terrible. But you're at Purdue, IU, Notre Dame, you're at a big camp, you have resources, you have weight room, you know, there's a lot of stuff. If anybody watches Last Chance U, you know these guys don't have ish for any, they've got nothing. And, like, most of them are, like, sleeping in cars and stuff like that. And it's like, could you imagine the mentality and mindset? And John Jones, too, JUCO wrestling champion. Could you imagine the mindset and the mentality? Because wrestlers already build that, but that it would take to come up through a JUCO wrestling program. And if, I swear, I have no, if there is anybody listening to this right now that did wrestle for a JUCO wrestling program for an extended amount of time, like 2 years, hit us up. I would love to talk to you on it. And we would love to interview. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah,
for sure.
But what do you guys think? Is that something that, especially developing a mindset, there'd probably just be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it'd definitely be much harder.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to think of that because I think in general, like you said, wrestling just
sucks. It's already the toughest.
So you know, Gable had that famous quote, once you've wrestled, everything else in life is easy. So I wonder how much of that mindset goes into it.
Well, and even think about, because like high school wrestlers, I mean, it's same thing. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It sucks. But you get to go home to your house and, you know, your family and stuff like that. When, you know, if you're from Indiana and you're wrestling for some JUCO school in the middle of Kansas or something or Nevada, I mean, you just got nothing, dude. You got nobody.
Then to take it the next step, if you're at Minnesota or something like that, you're also getting a degree from a really good school. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it still sucks.
So to go, you're doing this, you're killing yourself every day. You're trying to get picked up by a big school through the JUCO system. But if you don't, you kind of just been killing yourself for nothing almost.
Believe me, like I said, D1, I still couldn't imagine the levels of toughness and just how gritty and terrible it would be. But having all those, like, extended resources around you, it at least makes your time off the mats a little bit easier, as to where I'm sure JUCO guys, you get off the mat and it's like, you're still grinding. Like,
I gotta go to work at Wingstop.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's like I said, watch Last Chance U. So, anyways, we can move on from that. Oh, before we do move on, as far as what is next for Derek Lewis, like, we do know that John Jones has been, because, like, to me, I mean, for Derek Lewis, you would think number one contender, but they have said that John Jones is moving up and probably going to get the next title fight. Derek Lewis acknowledges that. So we're going to play, in his words, what he wants to do next.
Yeah, I don't care. He got a couple of losses in a row. It'd be cool to just to fight him because he's a so-called legend. So it'd be cool to fight somebody like that. And also, he's been talking trash. You know, he's saying that his teammate Curtis with Cut Hannah is lightweight and stuff like that. And we've been trying to fight him for years, and he turned down the fight 4 times already. Isn't that right, Hondo? Yes, so.
Do you think he'll take it now?
He might take it. He's been hit in the head a couple of times, so he might forget all about what happened tonight. So he can probably take it.
Did you say that you're oiled up and ready for him?
Yes, the clapping cheeks, yes.
So the he is talking about there, sorry guys, I should have set that up a little better, is Alistair Overeem. So obviously, you know, he's kind of talked all week about Overeem. So whatever Overeem said must have really got under his skin. But, I mean, obviously with Jones being the potential or obvious next choice, what do you guys think about Overeem versus Lewis? For a next fight,
I think Overeem probably does get retired if he takes that fight. Yeah. I just think Lewis is one of those guys who I think the reason he takes it personal is how many people have you ever heard say anything bad about Derrick Lewis?
Yeah, not many.
I mean, even like with him in D.C., the big talking point was D.C. dissing Popeye's chicken. Yeah. Like,
but D.C. loved that, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, there's been, I've never seen anybody, I mean, even Blades was like, you know, he bigged him up on everything. Was just like, oh, he doesn't have footwork and a couple like small things, but not like anything like to demean him or anything. So,
yeah, what do you think?
I mean, it's a good fight for Lewis for sure. I think it's exciting. I think it'd be fun to watch. It's hard. It's just hard for me to think of that with the next weekend's card coming up and the heavyweights there. So I just think that thinking of as UFC, how they might think about it. I don't know. I don't know if they would want to go that route or if they're wanting to try to keep some.
Yeah. So here's like initially I was like, oh, that's, I love it. I think that makes a ton of sense for him. And the more I've thought about it though, I don't love that fight for him.
For Lewis?
Yeah. I think, because I think Overeem presents a lot of problems for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, Overeem is still tough. He's good. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more giving, it's giving more respect to Volkov and what Volkov did to Overeem. Mm-hmm. And I mean, dude, Volkov was teeing Derrick Lewis up too. He just got caught, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I just think the kicks are a big element. You know, I could see and Derek. And so this is my thought is Derrick Lewis gets hurt to the body a lot. We've seen a lot of his fights end in big, huge body shots. Overeem is phenomenal at going to the body with kicks, with punches, with knees. Mm-hmm. And dude, Overeem's still tough. He's still super dangerous. And I mean, here's the thing. If Derrick Lewis catches him, it's game over. And I like the fight, I guess I'll say for Lewis too, because if you're going to wait around, I don't think, I mean, first off, he's probably going to move up to number two, right? Because who's number?
One's Francis. Two one's Francis. Blades.
Yeah, three. So he'll take Blades' spot.
Is Rosenstruck three?
Yeah, Stroik's three, yeah. So he'll move up to number two. So there's nobody else above him. So he has to take somebody lower. And I think taking somebody real low, like Overeem, is what you probably do. And it's a legend. And I get that. We see those fights sometimes. Yeah. And it's just like kind of like an in-between fight anyway. So, because he's... After whatever, you know, whatever happens with Ngannou, he's the next number one contender. There's no doubt about it now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. I don't know if Lewis is, Overeem. That is, it's just a scary fight, man.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a lot. What I would want for Derrick Lewis is to wait for, to see if Rosenstruck wins. Because if he does, that's a good fight.
So here's,
because you know Jones is going to get it regardless.
I just think, compared to the win, I mean, because, and obviously we'll get into the Rosenstruik fight in a minute, but he could go out and knock out Gon in 3 seconds, and I still don't think it's a bigger win than Derrick Lewis just beating the number four, I think Curtis Blades or whatever Blades is. And I just, so to me, I still think he's the number one contender over Rosenstruik.
But I think if you're...
Have those guys fought?
No, not that I know of.
So, you know, it could be a situation where, but dude, and once again, not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but... Gone. If Gone wins that fight, another stylistic nightmare for Derrick Lewis. So there's a lot.
Well, I guess I say that to say this. Derrick Lewis has been in there for 20 fights. Mm-hmm. He knows how the UFC works. They're going to build up John Jones and whoever so long. They're going to make it a big card, probably a summer card.
Oh, no. Well, it won't be a summer card because they'll... Steve, whoever wins between Stipe and Francis will probably take at least 6 months.
I've heard it's probably going to be like the end of the year.
Yeah, I guess New Year's maybe.
Yeah, because I don't think that fight's not till like April.
Yeah.
So there's no way either of those guys.
If it happens this year, it'll be the end of the year.
I think it'll happen. I think if Stipe or Francis go out and knock the other one out in like 20 seconds, we could see a quicker turnaround if the other guy didn't take much damage. But, dude, Stipe does not defend that tie. I mean, I love Stipe. But he really, like, for the past, and not even him, DC was doing it a little bit too, but that belt's been defended, like, for the past 4 years, like, four times. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, like, once a year. Mm-hmm. But also, Stipe and DC went through some wars, and, you know, DC's talked about it. Like, you have to let your chin and your body recover from fights like that. And
wars, and they also went through everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but... Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, and the good thing is last night, between next week and last night even, ton of heavyweight fights going on. And
for sure.
So moving on to that, our next fight that we previewed was Andre Arlovsky versus Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall winning by a rear naked choke in round two. John, what did you think of Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky
man
and Tom Aspinall?
First of all, plus 1600 for him to finish my sub. So there's that.
Yeah.
I thought it's kind of how, you know, when we talked about it, I said, you know, Orlovsky's obviously tough, but when you run into like those young pit bull type guys where it's just too much, they pour it on you. That's kind of what it looked like. You know, he got, I think he thought he was going to be able to do more in the first round, like, because I mean, all his fights have been like first round finishes, but then you've seen him kind of recollect and kind of take his time and mixed it up. It was, I'm very impressed by.
Yeah, it kind of looked,
boy Tom.
He really looked bored, I thought, the whole time. Like, he was just playing, having fun. And with that blast double into the rear naked, what do you think of that?
That was, so I'm going to be honest. I don't remember his fights previously too well in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And before that, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what they looked like. But so the grappling to me, in no way did I expect anything like that to come out of his ass. And then to hit that double like that on Orlovsky, I was just, and it was like, in terms of wrestling, that was, his face went straight into the chest, and they teach you about that and like, you know, middle school wrestling, how that's the perfect way to hit a blast double. Nobody does it because it sucks because you're putting your face right in his chest. He literally hit a textbook blast double. Yeah. Like, when I talk about a blast double, that's what that looks like.
Yeah.
And so that to me was what was so impressive, because it was just perfect.
Tito Ortiz would be proud.
Yeah, but then it just straight into that rear naked choke. I mean, he didn't, for people that maybe didn't see it or haven't watched it yet, go watch it, but he just didn't even put his hooks in. He just kind of stood behind Orlovsky, wrapped his arms around his neck, and just squeezed.
Orlovsky turned to get up.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know this, but they said it during the fight. His dad is the jiu-jitsu coach at the gym.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that either.
That's why at the end he said, I don't remember what his dad's name was, but he said such and such, Espinal Jiu-Jitsu, that's what it's all about.
That makes sense.
I didn't hear it.
I heard him say his dad was in the corner, but I didn't realize.
Yeah, his dad is the coach for Darren Till and them's Jiu-Jitsu. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Tom Aspinall, man. And I think coming up, and he's in the perfect gym, obviously, with Darren Till. And I could only imagine what those guys going back and forth is probably like. Probably hilarious. But no, that everything about that fight I loved. And I mean, literally, when he did the blast double, to me, his face was just like, all right, let's get this over with. I'm done. I'm done with this. Because Orlovsky did crack him a couple times in that first round. And I think he was just kind of like, yep, no need to keep playing with this. Let's just get this out of here.
Yeah, and he kind of represents, you know, how you see in every division, like the future of it, like putting things together. Because the UFC heavyweight used to just be tall, big guys slanging it out.
Yeah.
You know, turn to some wrestling and stuff. And now you have these really legit strikers who can mix it up.
Yeah, and I know we didn't, like, feature it last week, but the Phil Haas over Imavov, was that his name?
Yeah.
Imavov. What do you guys think of that? I thought, because, you know, Phil Haas coming in, obviously, super highly rated and kind of, like, somebody that you could tell they're trying to push as the next big prospect or whatever, but probably not exactly the victory he would have wanted, especially that last round. He was getting teed off on.
Yeah, I was kind of nervous for him. At the end of that round.
Yeah, he gritted. I mean, when you talk about, like, the whole JUCO and the grit thing, he definitely gritted that out, because there was times where he looked like he was really hurt and he was able to pull that takedown kind of out of his butt. But
yeah,
Nassardine definitely impressed me.
Yeah, and then Alexei Oleinik, woof. Losing to Chris Daukaus by punches and TKO in the first round. And dude, Alexei Oleinik's 42 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's ranked number 10.
But that's 75. We've been saying it literally since we started doing this podcast, though, about the need for young, like Aspinalls and Daukaus to start coming up and getting these old heavyweights out. I don't know about you guys. I said it last night in the text thread. I do not want to see Oleinik in the UFC ever again.
No.
Not even in a gatekeeper role.
70 fights?
It was bad. Like, it was just bad.
I remember them saying, and I remember reading it a while ago, with his Ezekiel choke finishes, he has like 10 or 12, and three of them came in one night, like a tournament style.
Yeah. That's how long he's been fighting. Yeah. He's been fighting since tournaments.
You know, set up him and Josh Barnett in a grappling match. I'm with that. Something like that. Do that. Don't do this no more.
Would you watch him in Orlovsky?
No.
No, I don't want to
see him. I think Orlovsky would mess him up. It's just like, I don't know, dude. I was just really unimpressed and overwhelmed. I think his last performance looked a lot better, you know, and it's like, I think, like, I've heard, once again, heard DC talk about, it's like, when it comes to father time and fighting, you literally just wake up one day and it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've kind of seen with Oleinik is, even from his last performance to this performance, is somewhere in between there, he woke up one day and it was just gone.
Well, and like, here's what's unfortunately, if you keep him, you mess up some of your prospect, because he does have a niche, like talent that
maybe a name
against a young guy who thinks like, oh, I can wrestle him. Next thing you know, he's choking you out. And now this dude's back at number seven.
And like, let's not, I mean, he's still a high level. I'm not saying like he's, could not be anybody. You know what I mean? There's definitely fights in the UFC, I'm sure, that they could give him that are winnable fights that he could win. I just don't think, for me, it's just like, why though? You know?
Very impressed with Dawkus, though. He was...
Yeah, Dawkus, man. And real quick, because I brought that fight up, too, with the Aspinall, because a lot of people were saying, oh, Aspinall versus Dawkus, that makes the most sense. I kind of, at first, thought, I think I even texted, I think that makes the most sense. And then I kind of thought, like, do you, though? Because I feel like both of those guys should still keep building names. Because you don't want to kill a contender. Like I said, this division needs guys like this. So you don't want to pin those guys against each other now when they're just starting to build some steam.
Keep them on parallel tracks for a while.
Yeah. And then maybe like
Junior and Kane.
Yeah. Even just one more.
They both
more.
Have
yeah.
8-9 wins against different opponents, a couple same, and then they meet.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, just getting those guys maybe one, even two more fights, and then you could, you know, if it makes sense, match them up. But...
Also, Dawkus also said he kind of just, he wants that number 10 spot that he just beat Oleni for, and he wants to keep looking up.
Yeah.
So he probably doesn't want to play the...
Yeah, because Aspinall might move into 15, but...
Who did Aspinall say he want? He said he wanted somebody specific.
He said I think he said there's... Well, he just said there's a couple heavyweight fights still left, and I'll take the winner of either of those.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard.
But he's not going to get Derek Lewis.
Yeah. So. Well, well, I think he also meant, like, next week, too.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, because there's... There's a lot of fights next week, and that is a perfect segue. Oh, real quick, too, Frazahabi, his little brother, winning. Did you guys see that by knockout? Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool on this card. Our boy Eddie Wineland losing another first-round knockout. Eddie.
Tough.
Yeah, probably just time to ride off into the sunset, dog.
I think he woke up.
Indiana appreciates it. Huh? He woke up somewhere. He probably woke up before the O'Malley fight somewhere and just... I mean, dude, he's just so tough, though. Yeah. He's just such a beast and a legend, and shout out to Eddie, man. But, yeah, anything else on this card before we move along?
It was just a really good card.
Yeah, really good. I enjoyed it.
These fight night cards, man, I feel like I don't remember the last one I've seen that I was like, oh, that was terrible. Like, generally watching them, they end up being very, very good cards. Fights.
Why do you think, like, do you ever think that sometimes these fighters, because, like, you know, your casuals probably didn't watch last night. You know, you might have got some people that tuned in for the main event just because they know Derek Lewis and have seen him. But do you think maybe the fighters, it takes pressure off, or maybe they put like a chip on their shoulder? It'll be like, because like taking the pressure off in the sense of maybe it's like, you know, it's not a big card. Because I'm sure there's a different feel in the locker room between a fight night and a pay-per-view, you know. But I don't know. You think there's anything to that, or do you think it's just... good matchups and it's the UFC and they're the best in the world? The fighters are the
best.
It's
hard. I feel like there's a lot of variables, but sometimes I wonder if it's my own expectations. Cause like when you're when you're watching a McGregor card or something like that, you know, you have these expectations. And so if they don't deliver, you're like, oh, that card was okay.
Yeah.
You know, could have not bought it, whatever. But with these kind of cards, it's like, yep, Saturday night, you know, free and, you know, I'm just going to sit and watch it.
Yeah.
And they end up just being banger fights, really good fights. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, maybe is it because I just didn't expect them to be?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. Maybe it's part of
it. It's a good point. I think it might be actually probably more that. Because you do go into them with like, oh, I really only care about the main event. Or, you know, and then it's like, then you're watching the whole card and you're like, good Lord. Like, moral of the story, people, watch every fight because they're all amazing.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know people, like I said, these are still the best athletes at what they do in the world. And
especially the free. If it's free.
Yeah, why not?
And that's where all these guys started too, though, right? Like
everybody.
Habib, McGregor, everyone, they started lower level. Nobody knew them. And then, bam.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I always think about too. Is like a Aspinall or a Dawkus. Like in 5 years, this could be our champion. You know what I mean? Like you're watching these guys that are going to grow into something way bigger and way better. So, this Saturday night, though, we have another UFC fight night headlined by some more heavyweights. Number 3 Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus number 7 Ciryl Gane. Rozenstruik is coming in with an 11-1 record. He's coming off a second-round TKO of Junior Dos Santos. His only loss was a first-round KO against, you guessed it, Francis Ngannou. Ciryl Gane is coming in with a perfect 7-0 record. He, too, is coming off a second-round TKO of, you guessed it, Junior Dos Santos. Guys, both guys, over 50% significant strike accuracy. Both guys are former kickboxers. Both guys kicked JDS in the nutsack in their last fights. Cheaters. So
that went somehow, I guess.
Yeah. So, John, what are your thoughts and predictions on, or not like your, who you think's going to win, but what's your thoughts on this matchup?
I think it's a good one. For Gon, you're going to see, I mean, once you get to that top level, you get to see who's for real, because there's certain people that you can do certain things with as far as maybe playing a little bit more loose or not being as tight. But some of these people, you make a mistake and that's it. You don't get another chance in the fight. So I think that's what this is. I think it's a young guy who has a lot of tools. But if you go in there and you make that mistake, Rozenstruik will definitely put you out.
What do you think, Brandon?
I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see Gane for sure, just based off his last fight, because he looked really crisp against JDS. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, he's got quite a few submission victories, a heel hook.
Yeah,
and,
you say, I was just about to say, he's got a heel hook.
And so I think about that. Like, when I look at submission victories, like if somebody has a bunch of arm triangle chokes, I'm like, okay, like most wrestlers are decent, okay, grapplers can do that. But when you have a heel hook victory, that's something you have quite a bit of time on the mat messing around. So I'm curious to see how this fight goes. I don't know, I just want to see some expansion on their skills, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Rozenstruik's a super powerful striker, got just crazy knockout power, really good leg kicks. Gon has really good leg kicks as well. Like we said, both of them are former kickboxers. I think Gon is definitely the more technical striker. I think he's going to have a little bit of a speed advantage as well. Man, if you've never watched Surreal Gon fight, like, go watch his last even just three or two or three. The dude is constantly on his toes, bouncing, switching stances. He does not stop switching stances. And it gives a lot of guys at heavyweight problems. And kind of like what we said with Tom Aspinall last week is he does not move at all like a heavyweight. And, you know, I think Bisping said in one of his fights one time is like, when you've got a guy that big switching stances and coming at you, it is scary. Like, you know,
maybe that's something we start to see shift with the heavyweights too. More, more of those leaner,
kind
of
like we saw with Usman a couple weeks ago.
And so I don't know, that'd be interesting to kind of look at.
It would be, man. And that's kind of like a, you know, like with the heavyweights is, you know, you do look at some of the guys outside of the rankings and, you know, they aren't the most in shape looking guys.
Greg Hardy.
So yeah, well, no, I mean, Greg Hardy's pretty cut up.
Well, I'm just mean like just, he doesn't have like a gas tank. Like he's just a big guy throwing
but
leather.
But it is kind of nice to see like a young guy or a guy, because I don't think Surreal Gon's that young. He had a long kickboxing career, but it's just nice to have contenders that, you can tell are just, I mean, Surreal Gon, that's another thing. His cardio is phenomenal. He has really good cardio, and I don't know that I mean, he definitely has knockout power, but I would definitely somewhat give Rozenstruik the edge there, but super, super, super excited for this fight. I can't say that enough. So next fight we have is on this card is going to be in the light heavyweight division. Number 8, Nikita Krylov versus number 11, Magomed Ankalaev. And I just butchered those names, but these two are two very, very legit, exciting 205 contenders. Brandon, set us up.
Very excited for this fight. So I've been following Magomed for a while, since he's been in the UFC.
Since he was born.
His first. So he's out of Dagestan, or he's out of Russia, and so clearly I have a little bit of bias there.
Loves him.
But so his first fight in the UFC, he lost to Paul Craig via triangle. And I'm a Paul Craig fan, so I remember watching that fight, specifically cheering for Craig. But now, seeing Magomed evolve, he has been on a tear. He hasn't lost a fight since he lost to Craig. And if you remember, he's the guy who had that controversial stoppage with
Kantalaba. He's for people that don't know, he's the guy that always paints his skin like the Hulk, I think. He always paints himself green. Isn't that him?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So he fought him the first time and he was sort of out on his feet, and the ref stopped it and everyone freaked out. So they fought again on Habib's last fight and he knocked him out in round one with that crazy left hand. So So that's Magomed. And then his opponent, is it Krylov? How are we pronouncing
it? Yes, Krylov.
So yeah, Krylov.
Probably not how you pronounce it, but
That's what we're going with.
Yeah, we have full-time jobs. We don't have time to sit around and learn fighters' names.
So he's a bit more...
Glad you guys joined me on that. About time.
We're still going to give you some crap, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's okay.
But, so Karlov's a bit more, I guess you could say, 50-50. He's got some wins, some losses. His most recent win, he just beat Johnny Walker in that Lee Oliveira card. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty good in the grappling department, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, this will be an interesting one to see. I don't know. I think I have Magomed taking this one, though.
I can see that.
I think it's his time.
Yeah, so Krylov, 27-7, like Brandon said, coming in over a decision victory against Johnny Walker. Up until that, his career fighting percentage, he was 100% career finish rate up until that for his whole career, and you're talking 27, well, mm-hmm. 26 of those victories, all finishes, 11 KOs and 15 submissions, so just... That tells you right there how like well-rounded he is. He, like I said, just beat Walker and OSP. His only two losses in this 2-2 run were to current champ Blachowicz and the number one ranked light heavyweight Glover Teixeira. So, really tough fights right there. Ankalov is 14-1. Like Brandon said, he only has the one loss to Paul Craig. He's on a 5-fight win streak in the UFC. All 5 of those wins, but 1 are by KO, TKO. He's actually on a 3-fight KO streak, which outside of the Kuntalaba or whatever, he was done, right? I mean, it was probably early, but when you got a guy like this on you, it's probably done.
I mean, we saw how that second one went.
Yeah,
I agree. So. Just two guys that are just straight go. I kind of feel like both of them have really good striking and super crisp. One thing I did notice with Krylov is he gets hit with single legs a lot. He gets caught in single legs a lot, and I think Magomed definitely has the tools to handle that. But I also think Krylov is just going to be the bigger guy, and I know that doesn't always translate into wins or advantages, but Magomed's actually come in underweight before. Kind of, it'd be really interesting to see if he could get to 185. But John, what do you think about these two?
I think it's going to be a really good fight. It almost kind of feels mirror matchish a little bit, where it's like they kind of have the same tool belt. They kind of have real gritty styles where it's like they come in there to take you out.
Yeah. Both just good mixed martial arts.
Which either leads to a crazy fight or kind of almost a stalemate to where it's a split decision weird.
Dude, Magomed has the sickest front kicks ever, too. Yeah. He has finished somebody with a front kick. Like
Anderson Silva style.
Yeah, just pure filth, disgusting. Go look that finish up because it's awesome. Magomed has also like a great left, straight left, and Krylov has like an amazing big right.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying.
It is like this weird mirror of just two very high level mixed martial artists. I think to me, this fight could be fight of the night just based off of skill sets.
Yeah. I think it's more evenly matched even than the main event.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, good luck. I mean, it's a
coin toss. I should have looked up the odds. That'd be interesting to see what the odds are sitting at, but I bet it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No advantage. But anything else on this fight? No?
Got nothing.
Yeah, all right. So the next fight that we're going to feature is one that was actually supposed to take place 2 weeks ago. It was scheduled for UFC 258, but was scrapped because of positive tests in both these guys' camps. I think it was both, or it was Pedro's, but in the bantamweight division, number 8, Pedro Munhoz versus number 9, Jimmy Rivera. But this is a nice little addition to this card. Yeah. This card was already a pretty decent free card this Saturday, and this fight is a pretty big one. We won't spend a ton of time because obviously we already went through both of these guys. But just a quick refresher, Munhoz is coming on in on a 2-fight losing streak. And Rivera is coming in off a decision victory over Cody Stamann. The Munhoz fight, we talked about it, was the Edgar and super controversial. You know, Munhoz could have kind of edged that one a little bit. Anything new or anything you guys want to say? Like I said, we just talked about it a couple weeks ago, so we won't spend a ton of time on it.
Yeah, I still feel the same. I think it's going to be a good fight.
Yeah.
Still feel the same about my pick. I think it's going to be.
Yeah. Two scrappy dudes.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, nothing new. I'm excited to see it happen, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Super pumped for it. So let's go ahead and do our picks. Brandon, do you have our updated scoring for this week?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Start with last place.
Okay.
Well, one thing about myself.
So your boy.
We want to hear last place first.
Me. I am in last place. I am now up to 9 points.
What was your picks last week?
So my picks, I had Blades by unanimous decision. Mm. You know, that didn't happen. Yep. And then I picked Aspinall for TKO in round three. He won, so that was my 1 point, Aspinall. We all picked Aspinall.
Good for you.
John, you're in second. Well, actually, let me look here. Yeah, 13-14. So right now, Nate, you have 15. John, you have 14. I have 8.
Still close.
Yeah. I'm falling behind.
So what were John's picks?
So John's picks were Lewis by round three TKO.
One round off, man.
And then Aspinoff by unanimous decision.
Yeah.
So.
And then who's in first place again?
You. Your boy.
Let's go.
And you had picked Blades by TKO in round four. That didn't happen. But you had Aspinoff by TKO in round two. So you had Aspinoff in the
round. What's up?
So that's what edged you off or outside of John there.
So there it is. That's our updated.
So just real quick, only one of us called both of those fights right, though, right?
That's correct.
That is correct.
I just wanted to.
There you go. Start betting the odds.
Oh,
there.
Real quick on that, betting the odds. Your boy hit a 6-fight parlay last night.
Nice.
I was able to call like some of the fights going the distance. That's pretty much all I called, and I hit a $3 bet and won $60. So
there it is. So we'll go through our picks real quick. John, we'll start with you, or I'm in first place. I'm starting. Forget you guys. Number three, Jarzinho Rozenstruik versus number seven, Ciryl Gane. Whew, this is a tough one. I think I am going to go with Gane. Dang, that's crazy for me to even say it out loud. It's tough, man. Either of these guys can win. I think Gane is just has more ways to win, purely, and that's what I'm going off of. I think he's longer. I think he's going to give Rozenstruik a lot of problems with his, you know, movement and switching stances. And, you know, even in that JDS fight, Rozenstruik had a hard time at times getting in on JDS a little bit. And I think Gon's going to be a lot tougher. I do think it's going to go a little longer. I don't think it'll go 5 rounds. I don't know. No, these guys can't stand in front of each other. I'll say Gon, Ciryl Gane, 3rd round TKO. Mm. Ooh, no. Ciryl Gane, 3rd round.
Have you already had it typed.
Submission.
Mm. 3rd round submission?
Yeah, let's get spicy. Let's put a little spice in the rice. Nice, let's go.
Nice. Nate's wanting to lose that top spot. That's what's happening.
Let's go, John. Jarzinho Rozenstruik versus Ciryl Gane.
I'm going Rozenstruik. I think he's seen everything. He's very seasoned, obviously. And he's seen some of the best guys in the UFC on an MMA level.
Mm-hmm.
And has obviously only faltered against Francis, who's about to fight for a title. I'm going to say him, 2nd round KO. I think he has that power.
Definitely has the power.
Yeah, it's like that Derek Lewis thing where it's like you just don't know, and he doesn't have to be doing good the whole fight to win.
Right.
So,
I'm going to take Gane, round two TKO.
Okay. There it is. Next fight we're picking for, number 8, Nikita Krylov versus number 11, Magomed Ankalaev. I am going to go with, man, this is one. I feel like every time I would watch one guy's fight, I would, like, switch.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I want to interject, though. One thing, going back and watching fights this week, especially, like, some of these guys have been in the UFC a while, so they were back when there was fans. Mm-hmm. I really miss fans.
Yeah.
At first, I loved the silence, but now, like, going back and hearing fans and reactions to big things, I kind of miss it. I think different. I'm ready for it to be back. Yeah. Just something, random interjection. I'm gonna go Krylov. And I think he's just gonna be the bigger guy, the stronger guy. I think he I'd give him a slight advantage in the grappling department, and I think that could be how this one plays out. I think Magomed could definitely catch him, pretty early, because especially early, he is super dangerous. But I think Krylov's a big jump for him, and as far as competition. And I'm not a big fan of Magomed fighting the same guy twice. I mean, he finished him both times in first rounds, but I'm just not a fan of guys doing that, especially after he beat him. So I'm going to give Krylov the little advantage there for whatever it's worth. But super close fight, could definitely see being wrong. And I'll say third round TKO.
Mm. I'm going to go Magomed, my boy. I think he's going to get a unanimous decision. Krylov is going to be really tough to take out.
Yeah.
They're both real tough, gritty guys. I can see them kind of banging it out, but I think that Magomed has the advantage on the stand-up.
Yeah, I would say too. So,
and
for sure.
And because of that, sometimes that could be, I don't know, I just think he's going to be able to stay on the outside a little bit. Because Krylov also have, I feel like I've seen him fight and he kind of like slow starts a little bit. Like he, I don't know, he sometimes it just seems like he's in a fight. Like,
yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'm still sticking with that.
He's not, Krylov's one of those guys, he's not really like great at anything, but he's so good at everything.
Yeah.
Like he's just kind of, wherever the fight goes, he's just
master
kind of.
None type of thing.
Yeah, he's just a really good all. I mean, but Magomed is too. This is a really, really tough matchup. I mean,
for sure.
It's really close.
It's a toss up.
I think Magomed's going to keep streak. I'm going with round one KO.
Mm. Who?
Magomed.
Round one?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm not mad
keep
at that.
Keep the KO streak going.
Keep the KO. Next fight, we have number 8, Pedro Munhoz versus number 9, Jimmy Rivera. Oh, man, I can't even remember what I said for this. I'm going to pick Pedro. I think Pedro does it round one TKO. And that's crazy because Rivera is so tough to finish. He's just a tough dude. Mm-hmm. But I think Pedro just has some crazy power. So I'm going to go that. Pedro, round one.
I'm going to go Pedro round two sub. I think he hits him with that guillotine.
You said that last week.
Subby dubby.
Remember that. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with Pedro. I'll say round two KO. Mm.
Round two KO. All right.
So based on this, there could be some shakeups.
Yeah, there could be. I like it. We got to start separating a little bit here. Separate the boys from the men.
I feel like I'm already starting to separate.
Yeah, separate the boys from the Brandon.
Yeah. Brandon's going the wrong way.
He's going to start doing some, like, I know he's a 700-point
underdog. Look, it's a long year. Okay, we got time.
Dude, it's definitely.
March is about to be crazy.
There's so, oh, yeah.
I mean,
just think next week's episode, we're going to have so many picks. Really, the whole card almost.
Yeah, you can't really leave out. Even some of that undercard is
next
crazy.
Next week could start separating us a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying in our group text. Like, because we're all kind of a little bit different in some of the fights. And
well, when you're only picking on like two fights like we did last week, it's a little tougher. But next week, we'll do a lot. We'll probably do, like I said, at least the whole main card. So anything else before we move on from? All right. So we're going to move on to some news. You guys like that?
Yes. Nice.
A little Ron Burgundy.
This week, Stefan the Skyscraper Struve retires at 32 years old with a record of 33-13. Thank you, Stefan Struve.
Good for him, man. Yeah.
Just been around for a long time, 7 feet tall. They say he's like a legit, real 7 foot tall.
Well, you remember like seeing him like in between rounds, he like hangs his arms over the top of the cage. Like
it's crazy. Like he's catching his breath. Yeah. He's like leaning on a wall. But yeah, man, just been in some tough ones. He did retire a couple years ago. He had like heart problems and came back. And I think it was just, it's tough to be out that long. And I think the game had made such a jump from when he was in to, it was just tough to catch up, I think.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about because he was out for a little bit, but not too long.
Yeah.
To think about how much that, that short amount of time can still change.
Oh, dude.
What's happened. Like Conor McGregor, another example.
Yeah, he said it. That's what kind of like worries me sometimes about the John Jones fight is, dude, your clock's ticking, man. And, we just saw, not to say McGregor looked bad, but, man, the game does just change so much. And, as a fan of John Jones, I'm not wild about the Stipe fire or Ngannou because this is just a tough first fight in your division. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just makes me really nervous. Next bit of news, Brandon, tell us about Bilal Muhammad.
Okay. So he is now facing Leon Edwards, replacing Hamzat Chimaev.
Shimanov.
I mean, you know, I'm not mad, I guess, because I'm glad that Leon's got a fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's one of these guys. I feel like he's pretty unknown.
They're staying on the March 13th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
March 13th. So. Okay. Is that what I said?
Yeah. No, you didn't, but I was just making sure I put that in there.
Yep, March 13th. Okay. So the fight is still taking place, but different opponent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what shakes out there because kind of like that guy with nothing to lose. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. You know? So what'd you guys think? Because, you know, Dana said initially when Khamzat fell out, he said that you can't, you know, a guy like Leon, because he gave Leon praise, which I thought was cool because I didn't know what that relationship was like. It didn't seem like it was great for a while. But he said, you know, Leon was the only guy that, no question, stepped up for the Khamzat fight. And he was like, you know, we want to reward him, so we're not going to give him somebody lower. We're going to give him somebody higher. Bilal Muhammad's ranked number 13, I think.
Yeah.
So we're talking, and I think Rocky's like, he's like, what, number 4, 5? Something. He's definitely top 5, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Might be 3.
Yeah, but so significantly lower. You know, you're going from 13 to 3. So what do you guys think about that? Is, you know, he's. Initially, Dana was saying Colby, but doesn't sound like maybe Colby wanted to fight him.
Yeah, I think it's like kind of what we said in the group, or I said in the group text, is he hasn't fought in so long. And with COVID and stuff, you just don't know what's going to happen. So you kind of have to get your money where you can, I feel like. So as much as he probably could have waited maybe, or
yeah,
but it's like what we talk about with being out so long. Like, can you imagine being out 2.5 years or something and trying to fight a
top
killer?
Contender.
Like, jeez.
And so if, you know, say he goes out and he beats Bilal Muhammad, like, you know, it's fighting, anything's possible, but on paper, that's probably not going to, you know, Bilal probably doesn't have much of a chance. He's tough. But if he goes out and handles business, does that help him in what's becoming a pretty log jammed 170? Because you still got Colby, you still got Masvidal, you still got Wonderboy. Now, you know, if Edwards were to win, Edwards is in there. Like,
well, I think it helps him in the sense that he's still on a streak.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys you just named have lost recently or have lost at least in the past year or so.
Not Wonderboy.
Yeah, that's...
As we're getting, you know, some weeks removed from the Usman fight, I really want to see that Wonderboy fight, man.
Yeah, I mean...
I really do.
It's unfortunate what happened to him via the Woodley, their whole thing, because it's like a... You kind of felt like, oh, he'd never get a chance to get back up the top, but with Woodley out of there, it's like these are guys that he hasn't fought that he provides a really good... Really good take against.
Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
On what exactly?
Just like the 170, like, you know, like, so if Edwards goes out and beats Bilal Muhammad, a lot of people thought he was next for the title. I mean, he's on like an 8 fight. Mm-hmm. That'll put him at 9. But obviously a win over number 13, Bilal Muhammad, isn't a win over a Khamzat or a top 5 contender. But does that, in your, given the situation and circumstances, should he still be considered for that next title shot?
I don't know. So here's the thing. I was looking at his record, and he's ranked number 3, okay? And I'm not going to say he doesn't deserve that because an 8-fight win streak is no joke.
Yeah,
but since he's lost to Usman, the guys that he's beat that stand out to me are Luque, Cerrone, Nelson, which was a split decision.
Gunnar Nelson? Yeah.
Yeah, and RDA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's a bad record, but I mean, looking at that, I'm kind of surprised, I guess.
Well, so I think one thing to think, and John said it, is he's been out for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know what years those fights took place, but you also have to think when he beat those. Like now, some of those wins didn't age well, but when he was beating him, was Cerrone really a tough guy? Was Gunnar Nelson? Because Gunnar Nelson was on a tear for a while.
Yeah.
His last two were in 2019. His last two fights.
So he's coming on 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of those fights.
RDA is a good win.
RDA, that's his last win, right?
He's the champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in RDA 2 years ago, I mean.
That's true. RDA 2 years ago is different from RDA today.
And, he's still tough today. But, you know, it's just, I think you have to look at it from that standpoint is he's just, I mean, his story has just not been.
But
favorite.
What you also don't been hear. Tough. You never really hear Leon Edwards not wanting to fight people.
Yeah, I was gonna, that was my
the opposite.
That was what I was going to say. The next thing that was interesting to me is you know, Edwards was still wanting to fight on this card, and I think that's why it ends up being Muhammad is because I think he's the only dude stepping up, which that says something, you know, when Colby's not wanting to step up and like the guys that are up there.
I thought Magny. That's when I was kind of starting to think, because I started hearing about Bilal. I started hearing Bilal's name being thrown around, you know, early in the week. So I kind of thought maybe that was legit, because once you start hearing names, it's like, well, they're definitely, if you're throwing a name like Bilal, somebody's reached out or it's starting to get leaked. But, you know, Magny's kind of been a I'll fight anybody, anywhere, you know, type thing.
I was really pumped. I thought Yesen might get a shot, but he's out for
his hurt. Him and Wonderboy. Yeah. I think Wonderboy was the other one, but he's still out with his hand or elbow or something like that. So.
No, I'm not mad. I wouldn't be mad. I think a title shot's, look, he's number three, like it or hate it. He's still number three. So if he wins, that's nine in a row.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah.
Let him. He's either going to do well or he's not. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. And it's been a long time since he's fought Usman, I think. Wasn't he Usman's, like, first fight after Usman beat that hater on The Ultimate Fighter? Was he, like...
Yeah.
I think it was Rocky was his next. So, you know, it's been a long time. Yeah. So, I'd be with that. Next little bit of news. Rafael Alves misses the 146-pound featherweight weight limit by 11.5 pounds. Alves, who was set to face Patrick Sabatini this past Saturday, last night, weighed in at 157.7. He wouldn't even have made the lightweight mark. That makes it the highest weight miss in UFC history. Gosh, you guys probably just saw it.
No.
I want... We'll go John. Who do you think was the highest before?
Ooh.
In UFC?
In UFC history. Who was the highest missed weight?
I have two ideas.
Okay.
I'm not going to present both of them, obviously, because that's not really fair. I want to go Johnny Hendricks. Took a shot.
Brandon. For so all the marbles. Jeez. It's funny because, like...
I have an advantage, I guess, because I know that it's not...
You know, were you thinking that?
Well, I was one of my options.
It's funny because, like, when I say the name... I'm not going to say nothing because that's going to give you probably some... It'll limit your list a little bit.
I hate questions like these because I want to sit and think about them for, like, 10 minutes. I can't do that. Man. So I'm...
I just try to
Johnny Hendricks was a good guess because what I was going to say is when I do say his name, it's going to be like, ah, yeah. I mean, he's... You know, it's Johnny Hendricks is a real, I didn't even think of him, but that's a good guess.
Yeah. I just try to think of guys who like had to move because of weight problems.
I want to say it's probably a lighter weight guy. Dude, I am struggling for a name at this point just to put out there because there's just.
You've got 5 seconds.
5 seconds. Anthony Johnson. Is that right?
Yep, you got it right. Anthony Rumble Johnson at UFC 142 missed by 11 pounds.
Was he trying to fight welterweight?
Oh, it had to have been.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was my only thought. I was like, he fought a welterweight, but...
Yeah, he... I can't remember who he was supposed to fight either, but yeah.
After you said, once I say it, I thought of Rumble, but my two were Calvin and...
Ooh, Calvin's another good... I wouldn't have thought Gastelum.
That's Calvin and yes, because Calvin and Hendricks are both He's two guys problems. Who had to go up weight because they
Which one
so
you guys
much.
Said has to be like a lower... Yeah, that's good. That's always the good thought, right?
Lineker probably could have been close too. Mm-hmm. He's missed a lot.
You know what's funny is I think I remember recently hearing no one has ever missed the heavyweight weight limit.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm like 98% sure I've heard that recently because somebody almost did.
Hardy, I know Tim
Hardy. Hardy almost missed.
Yeah,
he had to like it was close, and they said I'm pretty sure. Like 98% sure they said if he would have missed, he would have been the first fighter to ever miss.
I know like Tim Sylvia's had to do like super weight fight, like super heavy.
Yeah, but that was outside the UFC. Yeah. But that is kind of like interesting to think like, man, that could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, 200. Can you imagine? I mean, that'd be so.
I was kind of surprised how, I guess I never thought how big Curtis Blaydes was, but he was, he came in at like 260.
Yeah. Wasn't too much lighter than, but he's so tall, like just long. And
Lewis was like 263.
How do you think, obviously, like, weight cuts, just terrible, I'm sure. But, like, how do you think somebody misses by 11.5 pounds? Because, like with Rumble, we can make this, like, we know, like, I mean, he's about to fight at 205. He's fought at heavyweight. His frame wasn't even probably suitable. But this guy, I mean, what happens, man? Like, how do you just show up that overweight?
You probably just get to a point. If something happens, I don't know.
He blamed it on salmon. I think he said he ate, like, salmon or something, and...
I don't know. I don't buy that
until all you can eat salmon, Buffett.
Honestly, I was so annoyed by the headline that I didn't read the article because I'm like, are you serious?
Well, sometimes you hear about guys getting hurt and not being able to do like the cut portion at the end.
Yeah.
Like, so you try to do what you can, maybe sit in a sauna.
I think like 5 people missed weight. That Caitlin Vieira in the co-main event, she missed. I think there was like...
She lost. Wow. Yeah. Usually they win.
I think there was like 4 or 5 people that missed weight.
The guy who trains with James Krause, he said he's taking home 2 checks, so I'm guessing his guy missed weight.
I mean, ultimately, when it comes to weight cuts...
Sometimes these things happen in MMA.
Just happens.
That's right. Especially post-IV.
So that's all we got, man. News wise, or John, did you? Oh, that who was that boxing match last night?
Oh,
that was freaking sick.
Obviously, I was watching. I was still reeling from the Derek Lewis.
Yeah, so I watched the highlight this morning, but I didn't watch
it. Oscar Valdez.
Oh man,
just turned a guy completely around,
dude. I think he knocked his soul from his body.
Yeah. You know, in some of these, especially when you get to like these top level boxing guys, sometimes you see these knockouts that just like. Make you feel weird about it, like watching it because like some of the because like
they with said boxing, he was out for a minute
with boxing, you know, we talk, you hear about, you know, the damage that comes from it because you can get hit in the head, basically probably get concussed. I mean, you had that guy who died earlier this year. You can get hit in the head and you keep getting you get a chance to get up.
Yeah,
you know, in the UFC you see guys get knocked and immediately wake up, but that's it, the fight's over.
Yeah,
these guys got to take it over and over. And but when you see stuff like that, it's at first you're just like, whoa, that was crazy. But then you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's somebody's son.
Yeah. It was bad. If you haven't seen it, I mean, I'm sure everybody will see it by now because it's going to go viral, right?
Yeah. Also, real quick, Adrian Broner came back and won.
Oh, yeah. I was decision. Again, I saw that. I didn't get a chance to
watch the fight. He did. He won by decision. Which,
that's funny.
As much as people hate him, like I was, like when he first started fighting, like when he first started building up, I was a fan just because I liked how he was, you know, he was a really good fighter.
I think sometimes with like him is kind of like what I worry about with like a Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
Is I think when you come up so fast and you're so young, I think you kind of start
filling yourself.
Yeah. You like that. I've heard the expression like reading your own headlines.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start, you know, I don't know what his commitment was. I mean, I think Sean O'Malley's super committed to his training. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong there, but I think sometimes it's just a mentality mindset. Now, Broner, I don't know what his training, sometimes, some of those fights he showed up to, I don't know.
Well, I know he got caught, like, he got arrested for robbing a bowling alley.
Yeah, yeah, just, that's what I'm saying, so, like, just kind of lose it a little bit.
But, good. I mean, good to see him come back.
Yeah.
I mean, boxing has never probably been, I mean, singularly, like with like a Mike Tyson or, you know, Floyd, it's been big. But I feel like as far as like the amount of really good fighters, it's probably the biggest it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
And he was one of those names that kind of kept it afloat other than Floyd and like Pacquiao for a little while. So it's good to see him come back.
Big. Also last week, I just remembered something. I said that WNO card because my weeks were off. I think I even showed that on the episode because I thought the UFC was this week. That big WNO card is this weekend. Mm. I had the date right, February 26th, but I was saying this Friday. So jiu-jitsu, big jiu-jitsu card this Friday, February 26th. Gordon Ryan, Craig Jones, Andrew Wiltse, PJ Barge, Gabby Garcia, who just... I don't know if she has anybody fat on her right now. Have you seen pictures of her?
Yeah, no, she's been working.
Yeah, lots of good... matches on that. Brandon made some, you really made some terrible comments earlier this week. Care to share or comment on that?
Well, which ones do you think stood out?
You made some really horrible comments about John Jones.
Yeah.
In his career. Do you care to publicize those and put those out?
Do you think I should publicize them?
If you want embarrassed and backlash.
No, I think that this is just your emotional reaction because of the fact that it was something you didn't like to hear. And it happens, man.
Emotional.
So it happens.
I want people to understand something, that Brandon had the audacity.
It's a big word.
To say that John Jones won the UFC 205-pound title in a retirement division.
He dropped a bomb saying that.
John dropped the bomb, but I'm thinking more like, that's wrong. So what makes you think, though, I don't want to get into it because we're already over an hour, but what makes you think, other than the fact that a lot of those guys, yes, now they're old, They're old now.
Now they're older. They were old then.
No, they're not. Dude, when he beat Shogun, Shogun was 29 years old.
Like I said, man, it's a different 29.
No, it's not.
It is. That makes Max Holloway's 29.
And he's the best. He's the best in the world.
Well, yeah, he is an evolution of the sport. He doesn't spar.
Oh, my God.
We talked about this. He's got different approaches to training.
Guys, help me.
How long
help me.
Was Shogun fighting before?
Rashad Evans was like 32 in his freaking prime.
Mm-hmm.
Rampage was like 32. I think Machida was 32. Mm-hmm. Prime.
Well, before this turns into another episode,
wait.
Brian Caraway got arrested for stealing an ATV from Misha Tate. I seen that on ESPN.
What?
He got a felony arrest for stealing an ATV from Misha Tate.
No.
Maybe it was like during the split up, and he's like, "I'm taking the."
No.
What are they called?
Are you kidding
yeah.
me?
I just wanted to save that to randomly drop on you guys.
That is amazing.
And as much, and I hate Brian Caraway, so I was like, cool, good for him for going to prison.
I need the security footage or something.
Well, I don't think it was like a, he like, maybe it was like a, I took it away during the split, and she was like, well, I want my ATV back. And he's like, no. And she's like, well, guess what? It's in my name.
That is amazing. But Brandon's not running from this, sorry. As amazing as that is. Retirement division. It was like, what, 2011?
That was a long time ago. It's hard for me to remember.
That's 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years.
So just because these guys are old now, that doesn't mean 10 years ago they were old. They were all in their prime.
Man, I don't think so. I think if we go back and look at those fights, look at the careers they've had.
This is me hitting the microphone on my head.
Go look at the careers they've had. Majority of them fought in Japan. They had long careers up to that point in the UFC.
Guys.
It's just not, somebody, it's just not what it is.
Somebody please let Brandon know, at Neon Belly Pod, you're wrong. That's all I need.
Bring it.
You're wrong.
I hope you like getting shut down because that's what's going to happen.
Please, if you know his number.
Text him.
Text him. Yeah. Get him help. He needs something. Yeah. Something. Retirement division.
I'll keep it going. Retirement division. I'll make it. Yeah. I'm staying by
retirement
it.
Division.
Retirement division.
Then.
So actually, I think my exact words were retirement home of a division, meaning that the people in that division at that point were all ready to be retired. Or in
at 29, you think Shogun should have retired at 29? Machida, 29. Rampage, Rashad Evans, different, Chael Sonnen.
Different 29.
All those guys should have, in their early 30s, should have been retired.
Different 29. Different time, man.
DC, Gus, different. Thiago Santos,
ooh, see, I'll Dominic give you, Reyes. We talked about this. We talked about the differences between his early career and his later career fighting Santos, Reyes. Like, how did those fights look to you when he fought Shogun or when he fought Rampage? They didn't look very pretty. They didn't look very dominant. Well, don't get me started on the USADA stuff, man. I'm telling you.
Well, they've never the microdosing, the tainted supplements.
How he's looked since USADA's came in.
The tainted supplements that he popped for.
How Jones has looked in terms of performance since USADA.
See, some of that I just don't think that's a credit to I don't think you give that to like performance enhancers, because they said the microdosing that he was doing, they said was not enough to even significantly make any changes.
All I'm talking about is an observation. In terms of how his performances have looked, correlating USADA being present and not. That's all I'm saying.
I think he's still a champion, though. I don't see anything.
You can
see
that.
He knocked out DC.
Sure. That's pretty good.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Looked great against Reyes.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Didn't in the early rounds, but he won it in the last.
he won the fight kinda, barely.
Yeah, I think some of that, though. Like, I think, too, as you get older, you do have to change your style a little bit as well.
I think when you've been a champion for a long time.
That too.
I mean, you got to win it every time.
Look, and I'm not, look, obviously Jones is a great fighter. I can't say he's not a good fighter. Like, he's been through.
Is he the greatest?
That's a different debate, man.
If he wins at heavyweight and he wins the belt?
Ooh. I don't know.
If he does that, I think it's
that's it'd be
bag.
Tough to argue.
Khabib never went up and won.
Look, I can't make the argument that Khabib is the GOAT right now. But what
in your heart, though.
Look, in my heart,
he's number one in my heart.
Look, in my heart, Khabib's the best. But I think in overall GOAT, I think it's still tough to top GSP. We'll see what Jones does at heavyweight, and we can go from there.
If he wins and defends, you can't really make the argument.
Yeah, because GSP just sort of came in, beat Bisping, which that's cool.
And a Bisping that kind of like fell into the belt.
Right.
Had the sketchy Anderson Silva fight that I thought he got finished in. And
we all did.
Then runs into Dan. How do you get... run into Rockhold, who was kind of, I don't know, it's just a weird, how he fell into the title was weird. I mean, good for him. you know, he was a tough guy for a long time. But
So, I mean, you could even make the case that Jones beating Stipe or Francis to win it is different from GSP beating Bisping. Mm-hmm. But then, like you said, if he defends it, that's another level above.
Right. I think, yeah, I think because once you start getting to that, it's like, well, don't look at it as who was the tougher fight. Just, yeah, take that next step.
Yeah.
Because that's what was tough with Connor is he when you know, you get double champ, but then you don't defend.
He's never defended a belt.
So that's what makes it.
I would be more.
He didn't defend the featherweight? He never did?
I'd be more excited to push that argument about how Connor's not as great as everyone thinks he is than I am Jones. Because Jones, to be honest, difficult to, push back against. But it's fun to.
Retirement division.
It's fun to make Nate mad.
Retirement division.
Yeah.
John, before we go, do you have anything?
Oh. Not really. I mean, I felt like I was holding the caraway thing for a while.
That's amazing. So.
That was perfect.
That was good.
Perfect timing.
Brandon, before we go, do you have anything?
I don't. Everything's good.
Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing?
A little tired.
Retirement division.
Retirement division. I'm gonna stand by that, man. You'll hear that all year.
My last thing is Brandon's stupid. That's all I've got.
That's a good argument.
I love Brandon, but Brandon's stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid man.
Truth hurts.
We appreciate it, guys. Rate. Download, subscribe.
Neon Belly Podcast on all social medias.
We'll see you guys.